The 15th episode, Cersei, explores the subconscious lives of Splume and Steven. By refusing to separate clearly the surface events from the hallucinations and fantasies, Joyce demonstrates for us that the external events and unconscious life of characters cannot be meaningfully distinguished. Cersei fulfills the aesthetic theory of Skiller and Charybdis in an unexpected form. Rather than dramatizing the conscious lives of Steven and Bloom, the two halves of his putative artist figure, Joyce presents in dramatic terms their unconscious lives. Are we not supposed to see that these characters are as much an expression of their artistic creator as Shakespeare's characters are of him? Is not the dramatic form of the episode a deliberate effort to achieve the dramatic form described in Portrait, where the artist impersonalizes himself and regards his characters from a distance? We should think of Cersei as the fulfillment of the author's Odyssey of style, as the kind of turning point that Shakespeare achieved in Hamlet, when the artist moves from kinesis to stasis, moves conclusively from a lyrical to a dramatic mode. That Bloom and Steven share a vision of Shakespeare shows the readers that these seemingly very different figures, the inexperienced beardless artist and the cuckolded man of experience, have the potential to merge in the figure of the artist. The image of Shakespeare that they see mirrors their artistic frustration. Bloom has literary aspirations as popular author and also mirrors their sexual paralysis. Shakespeare's oracular words speak to Stephen's guilt for not praying at his mother's bedside, but Bloom also hears a resonance of the guilt he feels for not preventing in some way his father's suicide. Quote, "How my old fellow choked his Thursday morning," unquote. At the conclusion of Cersei, Stephen acknowledges Bloom as a spiritual father, and Bloom responds to Stephen as a spiritual son. Bloom assumes the role of a protective father when he pays the whores for the chandelier that Stephen has broken, and he comes to Stephen's aid after he has passed out. That Bloom calls Stephen by his first name shows Bloom's desire for intimacy, as well as a specific concern for the young man lying prostrate before him. Quote, "Mr. Dedalus, the name if you call, somnambulance, Stephen, Stephen," unquote. At the end of Cersei, Joyce affirms the central place of the father-son relationship. Bloom's vision of his deceased son, Rudy, is the grace and benediction to Bloom's humanity. As Bloom stands diligently over Stephen, quote, "silent, thoughtful, alert," unquote, Bloom has a vision of his son, Rudy, who died at the age of 11 days. Put in other terms, after Bloom has exercised his guilt and anxieties, his imagination transforms his actual role as Stephen's guide into the imaginative one as father of his deceased son, Rudy. Bloom thinks of an 11-year-old Rudy wearing his yarmulke, following in the Jewish tradition of his own forefathers, and reestablishing the tradition he feels guilty for having abandoned. In Lotus Eaters, and again in the first part of Cersei, Bloom has imagined his father rebuking him for leaving the house of his father and leaving the god of his father, although it is his father who had changed his name from Virag and abandoned his religion. That Bloom imagines the yarmulke as a bronze helmet may indicate that he has forgotten the word yarmulke, but it may also indicate that he realizes that the Jews need a helmet to protect them against the kind of anti-Semitism which, as we saw in Hades, Bloom presumably experiences daily, if not so dramatically as in the climax of Cyclops.